Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. To New South Wales, to Jeremy Zakas, reporting on La Nina, the third year, and the flooding. You will recall, a week past, the flooding hit Victoria, which Jeremy tells me is very unusual because last year, the second year of La Nina, the flooding was in Queensland to the north, which is semi-tropical. Jeremy's in between Queensland and Victoria. The rains are dropping all around him. So far, he is not sandbagging his house. Let's begin with what's going on in New South Wales. Floods at Moama break 30-year record as more New South Wales towns are evacuated. A major flood peak at Moama is expected to arrive Sunday into Monday. That's Jeremy's time right now, Sunday. Jeremy, a very good evening to you. It begins to look as if New South Wales is lucky because these rains are to your north, to your south, and the rivers are overflowing and they're peaking as we speak. This is highly unusual, I believe. I've not followed the weather patterns of Australia for the last 150 years. Is this unprecedented to the knowledge of the people who live there? Good evening to you, Jeremy.
G'day, John. Yes, this is slightly unprecedented because normally when we get rains in Victoria, which is the southern state of New South Wales, in, it's basically to the bottom right of a map of Australia, if you're looking at it, it means we're normally getting rains here in New South Wales and certainly here in Sydney. But what has happened this week, John, and this is where it's become very unusual, is that the rains have, as they've approached basically heading towards Sydney, they've almost split and divided. So you've had the rain systems head to the very south, so along the Great Dividing Range, which is a large mountain system just to the west of Sydney, and they've almost channeled all their water and energy into Victoria. And then basically what's happened is that they've also moved up north as well to Queensland and also channeling basically the heavy rains again into southern Queensland and New South and northern New South Wales. But as we speak, the towns along the Murray River. Now, the Murray River, John, is basically the state border between New South Wales and Victoria to the south. So if you look on a map of Australia, the border looks all over the place and looks higgledy-piggledy. That's because it's following a major river system. The Murray River, which normally copes with very heavy rains at the best of times, just can't cope right now with this unusual deluge that's basically split and headed south. So what we're seeing now is the town of Moama, which you just mentioned there, who hasn't had floodwaters really anywhere near this since 1993. The towns of Echuca, Kerrang, all these large towns along the river, they are now inundated. They are now unexpectedly being flooded and being surrounded. So this is definitely an unprecedented event. It was an event that really wasn't predicted even 2 weeks ago because the rain was more expected to come across here to Sydney in New South Wales and do its normal thing. But what we're seeing, John, is a very strange weather system that's flooding Victoria. And Victoria, being much more of a low-lying plains type of state where you do have the higher regions to the north, which is where the floodwaters are now, they're just not used to seeing this much water coming down to them. So sandbagging's going on in earnest. Evacuations are happening all through the northern part of Victoria. But this is just not something we expected to be talking about right now, John.
The puzzle here is why Victoria, why New South Wales? And then the report here is that the next intense weather system is in Queensland. So are these different origins? The Victoria is being hit from the west and Queensland is being hit from the north? Is that how to think of this?
I think that's the best way to think about it, John. And what we're probably seeing here in Victoria, because the Bureau of Meteorology here in Australia is still trying to ascertain what's really happening here, but it looks like the Indian Ocean Dipole, the negative Indian Ocean Dipole, which has been causing a lot of weather systems in Perth and in the southern states of Australia to have a lot more rain in them, is really driving this initial flood weather that's come down. And although that's not confirmed yet, that seems to be the general consensus. But what we're then going to see later in the week and what we're going to see head towards Queensland is we're going to start seeing those La Nina effects, which is a much more tropical band of rain, which comes across the very top of Australia, driven heavily by the jet streams, which is why it can move so far so quickly with such water. And that's what we'll see later on. So we're getting Indian Ocean Dipole and then La Nina basically taking turns and always tagging out across these weeks right now. And the combined effect is that there is heavy rain in Queensland, heavy rain in Victoria, but ironically here in Sydney, we are probably going to miss it. So this is amazing, John. For the first time ever, I can say that, you know, we're just going to get a little bit of rain.
The evacuation's underway. Where do they go? Agreed upon evacuation areas, or is it everybody for him or herself?
No, it's much more organized now, John. Even a week and a half ago, there were still decisions being made about how to actually run this. But it looks like now, in Victoria at least, most people are evacuating to the south. So they're moving away from those river systems along the New South Wales border, talking about large epicentres or large rural centres like Shepparton, which itself is facing a flood evacuation as we speak too in some parts, then moving towards Bendigo and even as far south as Melbourne. So anybody who's got family anywhere else away from those areas is being encouraged to go stay with them. Police are able to get people out as long as they're evacuating ahead of time, but John, we've had these warnings now for about 2 weeks, so it does seem a lot of people heeded the warnings. Those that chose to stay did the right thing. They already had the sandbags ready, and the state emergency services through Victoria are reporting at the moment that, you know, while the floods are bad, people were prepared. A lot of the waters are being held back in some of the critical areas. And I think, too, in some ways, in an unusual sort of a way to look at it, there hasn't been a very high casualty rate. We've only had 2 dead so far in the floods, which shows, for the population where we're talking literally over 1 million people, that shows people were ready. People are not doing silly things. People are not getting themselves into danger.
We best, though, illustrate what this means. When it's not just water. It's water that comes up to the knees and to the waist, but it's filled with mud and red clay mud. So then when the waters retreat, which can happen within 24 hours, the house is a ruin. I mean, you've got damp rafters all the way through. The basement is flooded. Some of these houses look like teardowns. Do they talk about that, Jeremy?
Not quite yet, John, but there is already some discussions about how the insurance companies will be reacting. And to a large extent, these areas were flood-prone areas. So the insurance companies were expecting at some point there could be houses that will need to be torn down. But I think, and you point out a really good point there, John, that the houses themselves, once the water's through, it's not like you've let the water out of a bathtub and it disappears. You've got this very, very thick silt, this red silt. And the ironic and sad part of this, John, is that thick silt is actually from some of the farmland and some of those rural properties, which are also growing produce for Australia and part of the Australian economy. So all that what would have been topsoil that would have been growing our next crops next year is now washed away into the suburban areas and going through people's homes and will not be recovered and usable for our farmers. So not only do they destroy the actual properties that they've moved into, so the red silt going through the properties, our economy next year is going to suffer for it. And it's not the end too. This is a continuing rain event. So we'll continue to see that red silt move through and continue to cause destruction and really ruin our riverland, which is very well known for its oranges and sort of produce that goes around the world.
Are you and your neighbors in your neighborhood, are you sandbagging? Is there a risk to you now?
This actually is interesting. No, this is probably the first time, I think, in 2-3 years where we have been getting these flood warnings that nobody here south of Sydney is expecting the floods to be as strong as they have been. And it's because we can already see just physically the weather system has changed probably in the last 2 weeks, really, to having less rain. We do still get rain. We are getting thunderstorms in the next half hour again, but this is normal rain. I mean, 10 to maybe 15 millimetres at most. So we can cope with this. Our dam, the Warragamba Dam, which is the major dam here in Sydney and just down the road from me, it is coping at this time, although they still do have to release pressure on it because there is a lot of rain behind it. But as long as these weather systems go north and south, we won't have to sandbag. But John, I mean, this is La Nina. This is very unpredictable. So you know what? Maybe in a week or two, we could be having a different discussion once again.
How much warning do you get, Jeremy? How much warning did South New South Wales get on this flooding?
This time it was really maybe only a week, probably realistically only a few days, especially in Victoria too, because the nature of the weather systems is so unpredictable that the heavy rains, when they fall, they don't always fall in the areas that are predicted. So certain areas, especially in New South Wales, if the rain falls there, we know it will drain away. It's already going into established river systems and into dams and into waterways that will cope with it. But if it slightly moves, say even just a matter of a few kilometres or a few miles, that can change the whole dynamic. So the flood warnings can come very, very late in the piece. In some cases, they may only come 12 hours before events. We've in here in southern Sydney had 12-hour flood warning evacuation orders, for example. Victoria, I believe, last week in some areas only got maybe 4 to 6 hours evacuation lead time because the water just came in so hard and fast. A lot of authorities didn't expect it to come as far south from the New South Wales and the Murray River as it actually did. So honestly, John, I mean, you can get lucky and get maybe a few days to a week warning, which we have seen, but it's really normally a matter of hours.
Jeremy Zakas in New South Wales, the weather system's dancing around where he is in South Sydney. However, to look at the meteorological map, these storms are coming from the west, and they're coming from the south along the Queensland border, and then they're spinning back into Australia. So quite chaotic. We're going to turn to an aspect of the storms and the flooding conditions, and this is a warning. We're going to talk about very scary reptiles, some of the most venomous snakes on the planet. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.